just come from outside. It stopped raining. It did for 2 minutes because now it's pouring again.
It's raining again.
It's raining again. So that's the good news. I like rainy days. Why? That's what it should be in fall. We've had a tremendously busy week. Did we know this week was going to be this busy? I don't think anyone perhaps thought, well, Walt Bell was going to be fired. I know there were people that were hoping that was going to be the case. So that has happened. You have the schedule drop for football, you have the TV schedule drop for this year for basketball, and you have the Kentucky-Indiana series. Well, that's not bad for a bye week, huh?
I mean, the thing is, it's a bye week, but it's not the off season. I mean, I think we always get sucked into this sort of like, it's a bye week. It's, you know, it'll be quiet. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's still the basketball preseason. Just because it's your bye week doesn't mean football's going to stop. It's the time of year when a lot of this stuff gets pushed out, A, because it just gets done, and B, because everyone's sort of paying attention anyway. It's already in the mainstream. I mean, it's, you know, just is what it is.
It is, and it's a lot to talk about, which I'm all for it. I enjoy having fun things like that. The baseball playoffs, no games tonight. Why? Well, everybody took care of their business last night. All four series were won, 2-0. That's interesting. So baseball will go on Saturday, if you're wondering where that is going to be. But we have so many things to do with you. Where should we start? What do you think is the most newsiest thing we've had this week? I think it is Walt Bell, because it is a sign of an Indiana football team, Zach, that we sat here last Thursday, and I was going through over this conversation in my head when I was in the shower today, thinking about, you know, all the things I had to talk to you about and how I was going to frame this. And then I remembered that when we sat here last Thursday, I think both of us, and maybe it was more me than you, I can't remember, you can help me out, but we were all interested, it seemed like, in what Indiana's response was going to be after a week of not taking Akron seriously, after a week of not slowing down their offense, after a week of not providing any Indiana offense. Okay, you get your pass, you get your, you know, you get your free one, you get your get out of jail free card. Now it's back to the business of the Big Ten. It's a road game. We're going to take Maryland seriously because they haven't lost. We know what Taulia Tagovailoa does under center. Look at how many yards he's thrown for. So this is going to be the measurement, and they abjectly failed on every single level.
Well, and even more than that, if you rewind to the Louisville game, you know, you felt like you saw the building blocks, and you felt like, okay, these are the things that work, and these are the things that we can, you know, that we can count on, not count on Indiana to do, but we can start to see Indiana building around, and, you know, here's where they can go, and here's what they can try. And then, you know, all that just kind of disappears against Akron. And then, on top of that, what you mentioned about, okay, but that was a MAC opponent. They totally overlooked them. They were completely guilty of just sort of, you know, just being too sort of blasé about them. We'll see a response this week. And, you know, I mean, obviously, it wasn't just offense. Listen, the defense.
First play of the game.
The defense had a terrible day, too.
Special teams was terrible.
But the thing you can point to most directly is 5 touchdowns in 4 games against FBS opponents this year. That's not going to – and, frankly, if you really just think about the last 2.5 years, every time you feel like you've seen flashes on defense for Indiana, it feels like that has so quickly been weighed down by the inability to score competitively enough to give that defense anything to hold on to. We spend too much time kind of watching, and obviously this season is still early, but think about like that 2020 season, even to some extent 2021, where you'd say, yeah, you see some of the building blocks of a Tom Allen defense, and then it would just feel like the rubber band just got stretched and stretched and stretched because you just kept watching Indiana basically say, well, we can't win unless we're just scoring a bunch of defensive and special teams touchdowns because
that's
the offense
not sustainable.
Isn't moving. It's not sustaining.
You asked
drives.
That question the first week. You remember when you said that? Hey, you lost to Ohio State 23-3. Would have felt better if it was 44-26.
Yeah.
Yes, it would have.
Now it would have. At the time, it wouldn't because right, at the time right. We said, boy, that defense looked really good.
Yeah.
Now, no, it wouldn't feel
but
bad.
You, I think you put a stat out maybe a week or two ago, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot here, and you don't have to look it up, but it was something to the point over the last couple of years, Indiana had X amount of 20-point losses and something like that, which the numbers were gross because not only does that tell you your defense is giving up points, but it also highlights that you're not scoring any points. The other thing you wrote that was very interesting either is there is no rock bottom. Rock bottom is not finite. You can find other ways to keep going.
Right, yeah. No, everyone always sort of wants to say, like, yeah. Oh, they've hit rock. But no, you can – I mean, if nothing else, you can just keep losing. And right. Then it won't – that won't feel any better. Like, if you lose by 30 and then you lose a bunch of games by 5, trust me, it doesn't feel like you're building out from rock bottom. It still feels like you're on the bottom until you start winning.
Now, if you get beat 30, if you're down 37-3 or whatever, and then you start losing games 44-41, I could see something, at least some coal miner's helmet in that. But the point is that that's not helping. That's not happening. So what do you do on a bye week? You're one-third of the season in, 4 games, right? 8 more to go. You have to change something. No, you don't. You didn't have to change something. Indiana did change something because I don't think they want to find out that bottom. But as Rod Carey told you, me, and everybody that listened yesterday, it's set. We got what we got.
Yeah, you can't.
We got to just kind of.
It's not a video game. You can't just go from, oh, we run UMass's playbook to now we're running Northern Illinois' playbook. It doesn't. You know, what you are now. You have to give, and it'll be fascinating, and we ask this question all the time with Tom Allen around kind of his defense and what are the non-negotiables, what are the underpinnings versus what is a coordinator allowed to do. You have to give an offensive coordinator some leeway. Somebody asked me today, basically, you know, will Indiana have a new starting quarterback? And I said, well, first of all, it's even right now probably too soon to know that. I mean, the first time I heard a rumor that Brendan Sorsby was going to replace Taven Jackson was like Monday afternoon. And I was like, I'm not even sure they've been in pads since the Maryland game. It's the bye week. Let's pump the brakes on all these rumors.
Because you want that to happen, and that happening are two different things.
Having said that, you have to give an offensive coordinator some leeway to be able to say, listen, if this isn't good enough, then we're opening, you know, this whole thing is going to get opened up and everybody's going to have to prove themselves to me a little bit more, a little bit differently, and you would expect something to be different. Different parts of the playbook emphasized or whatever, I don't know. If anything, sometimes I think probably the best move is just to simplify things.
And Rod.
Yeah, I mean, he talked about that a little bit. I mean, but just say like, hey, listen, you know, if we're all going to kind of have to build this plane while we're flying it together, then let's not overcomplicate our lives too much here. Let's stop worrying about... And I'm not trying to pick on Walt Bell, but let's stop worrying about, oh, well, the stat says to go against the grain and run it here or do this or do that. Let's try to find some fundamentals that we can all, me included, as the offensive coordinator, as the play caller, we can all make work early, and then we build on that. But again, you don't have time to make root and branch change here. So you're going to have to figure some things out, you know, just in terms of basically – So, you know, the mountain and Muhammad are going to have to meet each other somewhere, and it's going to be figuring out where that is.
Why do you get rid of the coordinator at this juncture of the season if you can't do any of what
you're talking about? Well, I mean, I think you still
is that have a pound
you,
of flesh.
Can, well, a little bit. I think you can also still just recognize, like, okay,
you it's know, not working.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Allen, I mean, the stat he threw out was three
meaningful,
three offensive touchdowns against 4 FBS opponents in what he called meaningful minutes, which I'm guessing, and I'm not picking on Brendan Sorsby, I'm guessing he's kind of cutting off the 2 Brendan Sorsby touchdowns against Maryland. The game's already well in hand. You know, Sorsby looked good, but Maryland's
starters... We're not taking anything away from Sorsby.
Maryland's starters are dancing on... I mean, quite literally dancing on the sidelines. So let's not, you know, that's not the same as... And this is not me advocating for one or the other, but that's not the same as Taven Jackson's second half performance against Louisville
in
terms of the stakes of the game and the challenges and things like that. So, you know, I think there is an extent to which you just sort of look at it and say, well, I don't want to say – I'm not saying you make this decision based on, quote-unquote, it can't get any worse. But I do think you look at this decision a little bit and you say, listen, you know, we've got to try something different, and if the guy that's in that job has been doing that and these are the results we've been getting, then, you know, then maybe that's the thing that needs to change.
There is a season to save. The season is not over.
No.
Indiana's – what's their record now?
2-4.
That's not the end
of
the
– 2-4, right?
They've lost to Louisville. They've lost to Maryland.
Ohio State. So 2-3.
Okay.
2-3.
So there's 7 more games to play,
yeah,
including the likes of Purdue, Illinois, Michigan State, who have not been running around.
Rutgers.
And running through.
Yeah.
Rutgers does run. That's all they do. Look, I put the stat up there. Rutgers, 3rd nationally in rushing attempts this season. All they do is run the ball. So that's interesting. The other interesting part of the Rod Carey hire, it is not an interim tag.
No, and I don't. I have not been able to get a hold of any sort of contract or memorandum of understanding. And these things, you know, listen, that's not uncommon. Like, you can have somebody on staff and working and under certain agreements.
Yeah, handshake.
And still be figuring out, like, all the details. So, like, typically the way this works is you'll make a hire. That person will, if they're external, clear HR and things like that. That's when you'll announce it, typically. Obviously, Rod Carey, I presume, would not have had to go through those steps because he was already employed in a full-time role. Then you'll sign something called a memorandum of understanding, which is basically just the bullet points of a contract. It's just sort of like, here's your salary, here's your main sort of benefits, bonuses, terms and conditions, the length of the contract, you know,
keys to the car.
What it would take to terminate you. And then the full contract is all the legalese. Here are the myriad NCAA rules we'll fire you for if you break them. Here's literally every single benefit down to, like,
you've read these before.
The $2,000 in Adidas product that you get to order for your family every year, and you get two basketball tickets, or maybe an office coordinator would say, hey, I'm the quarterback's coach too. I would like four. I would like to be able to bring recruits on occasion, or I guess I'm not sure you could do that, but you understand my point.
Yes.
That's when you get into the minutia. But you can have somebody on the job, I would imagine, in particular, somebody who was already on the job anyway, without the MOU or the full contract yet. So I think a lot of that's being hammered out. I will be interested to see, you know, what are the terms?
Were you surprised it wasn't interim?
I mean, I think the question you'd have, and listen, you know, I don't know if Tom Allen would ever disclose this publicly. He likes to keep a lot of these discussions in-house. I think part of the question you probably have is, Would Rod Carey take it as an interim, or would Rod Carey say, if I'm going to do this,
I did this last year.
Yeah, well, and I think if I'm going to do this, I need the security of time to work through whatever this season looks like, and then go back and retool it in my own sort of image or my own sort of, you know, whatever next off-season.
And that makes sense because he came as a quality control guy. He was obviously working with the defense to, I guess, reverse scout, for lack of a better term. And he was asked to stop that last year to take over the offensive line. And after Tom Allen went to that well once, going to it twice, I think that you're probably right there. I'd love to help Tom, but, you know, there has to be some things. The part from my angle in the are you surprised it's interim, there is no national search now. Now you don't get a chance to find maybe the next Kalen DeBoer. You don't get a chance to do all that.
I mean, that's the risk. I mean, that is undeniably the risk.
And the naysayer will say, well, if he's already been in there reverse engineering this, why haven't we seen results to this point? This is what happens when you get. This is what happens when you're 37-3
down.
Well,
the other thing I
this is what happens.
The other thing I would say is other than the interim period as offensive line coach, I don't think he spent any time on offense. So I guess maybe his quality control remit changed this offseason.
Well, he was working with the line last year, so that had to be something with the offense.
Well,
right?
Well, yes, but
Walt Bell, right?
But before that, he was a defensive analyst, which means he was sitting in on defensive meetings and providing an offensive perspective.
Correct.
On defense.
That's how I understand.
So, I mean, he said it was as sort of sectioned off as, like, he had to learn guys' names when he took over the offensive line role, because defensive, all he'd ever really worried about was defense, and he knew guys by number, but, like, he didn't know player by player, brick by brick, what the offense looked like. I don't know what he did when he went back into the quality control role this offseason. I assume it was just stay on that defensive side. So, again, there may be some familiarizing with what he's stepping into now still to do.
I don't want to categorize Walt Bell as a failure of a hire, but that's what it's played out to be. Nick Sheridan is a close second in that race. This will be the final offensive coordinator Tom Allen hires?
I mean, I think if
– you can't go 0-3, can you?
Well, I mean, in terms of results, I think it's probably fair to say this will be, you know, unless things turn around, just in terms of the timeline of things, I get real nervous when I start talking about this, because I don't want people to ever, you know, sort of take it as, well, he says this is going to happen, or he says that, you know, it's entering this process.
Let me frame
it. If Indiana keeps losing, I think we can all do the math on where Tom Allen's contract is headed, where the program is headed, and what would happen if by the end of next season the larger thing had not been turned around in a positive direction.
$20 million buyouts, now $7 million or $8 million, somewhere in eight. But that's how life in the big city works. And the other thing we have to remember, and I've talked about this, and I'm not advocating for anybody being fired. I'm advocating for performance. This is year 7, not game 7, not month 7, year 7. Year 7, there are some critical flaws in this program right now. Number one is a quarterback position. Number two is the absence of getting the offensive coordinator correct. And that this is leading to the questions, or leading to the this is what's going to happen down the road. You can't live on 8-5 in the Gator Bowl, or you can't live on the 2020 year. You can't do that forever. Yeah. You have to keep going forward. It doesn't – Mike Woodson got Jalen Hood-Schifino last year. That doesn't mean he gets 10 more years as head coach at Indiana basketball.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. So no one's advocating for anybody to be fired tomorrow. That's not the point. The point is the last 2 years have been really bad, and we're in the beginning of a third year in a row that doesn't look very good. So how do you get out of this? You have to show improvement. You have to win football games. It's not a mystery theory, right? It's not a mystery recipe. You have to start winning. And the terrible part of this is, what's their record at Michigan?
They haven't won there in
58, 49, something like that.
It was in the 50s.
Right. So I know everybody over there thinks they're going to win. I don't think anybody outside of there believes that. But that's a tough way to put in a new what you're going to do. Now, Rod Carey did mention yesterday, and this will be the last thing we talk about because we need to get on to basketball. He did mention, hey, last year I had 5 days. This year I get 2 weeks. It's at least something a little bit better. But it is Michigan.
And it's also like a lot – bigger scope. I mean, when you're the offensive line coach, you have a lot to worry about, but like you're still taking a certain level of marching orders from somebody above you. You're trying to fit your work into the wider scheme. Now you are the wider scheme.
And his wider scheme is going to involve quarterbacks, right?
And you have, yes, and you have, which he's never coached as a position, I don't believe, in his career. Listen, an offense coordinator will always be involved with his quarterbacks.
Totally.
A head coach will always be involved with quarterbacks. I'm just saying he was never a quarterback's coach before this. Specifically, you also have a head coach who's going to give you a lot of freedom, which is both good and bad. It's good because, hey, you get to do, you know, you get two hands on the wheel, so to speak. It's not good. I don't want to say it's not good, but the flip side is, you know, that autonomy comes with a level of expectation. Probably especially, and I think Rod Carey would probably acknowledge this, especially for a former head coach to be able to say, you know, I don't need anyone holding my hand. I don't need anyone sitting in there telling me, oh, it has to look like this, or this is where we need to be at this time today, or whatever. Tom Allen is probably going to look at Rod Carey and say, you know, you take care of this. When you need my opinion, when, you know, when you need a perspective, I'm happy to provide it. And when it's time to sit down and just talk like nuts and bolts of game plan, that's when I'll step in and really be the head coach. But Tom Allen's not going to be in there drawing up plays on the board. And he's always been pretty clear about that in terms of his involvement with his offense. And that's hardly surprising either.
No, I agree with that.
I mean, that is just...
It would be more surprising if he was.
Yeah, that's kind of how this works. And obviously, the longer you go on as a head coach, the more comfortable you get stepping onto the other side of the football from whatever you were as a coordinator. But like, you know, Kevin Wilson would talk about the autonomy he gave his defensive coordinators at times, too. It just works the same way.
The other problem is Tom Allen has problems on the defense that he needs to fix. Because we've seen that grossly. Tagovailoa, 6 touchdowns, 5 passing, 1 rushing.
Five passing,
1 rushing. That's a month's worth, kids, and it happened on Saturday. So defense not living up to it. Offense big change. Special teams wasn't very good either. What do you hope to see? We'll talk about that next Thursday with Zach Osherman before the trip to Michigan. Basketball talk is next. The schedule is out. TVs are here. We got recruiting stuff going on for all of that. There's probably something else I missed, but Zach Osherman from the Indianapolis Star will cover it with me next. At Zach Osherman, IndyStar.com.